Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and with me, against his will, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing? Thanks for joining me. Not by choice.
No, and this is one of the first times it's not the morning. It's the afternoon.
I know. Like, what kind of mood am I getting you in the afternoon on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of self-esteem? Like, was it different this morning versus the afternoon?
This morning, I was pretty indifferent. I just came back from a hike. Went to Griffith Park, did the B-Rock.
Okay, ladies.
And no, I'm feeling okay. Yeah, maybe. I'm still a five, I guess. Well, hold on. I'm going to watch the Leafs game today, and I'm pretty excited about that. Let's say I'm a six.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm a six in honor of the six, Toronto.
How's that? Copy that.
Cool.
Norm, this might be one of the rare weeks that you're clocking in higher than me.
Really? You're low?
Yes. When I
How's that
I,
possible? You just became an American.
Thank you so much. We are going to cover that. Yes, I became an American. Big moment. Very proud. Just
you cover
to
that
follow
with
up
Hampton?
With everybody. I do. Hampton and I talk about it a bit. But yes, I officially became an American. The oath ceremony, very intense. I might have joined the army, as I'm a little stressed out about that, waiting to find out. Just in terms of the draft and everything, if my name's on. But other than that, I'm very excited. Not much has changed. I'm kind of walking around with a bit more attitude, like, you know, get out of my country, kind of to anybody I see.
Yeah, I've been joking that you've been calling me Buckaroo all week.
I've been calling you Buckaroo. I've been voting. I'm voting on anything. So I'm signing petitions. So that's good.
Just creating your own elections and voting.
I'm voting. And here's the thing. Here's the policy, guys. I'll vote for anyone. I don't care what side. If you give me a suggestion to vote, I will do it.
You did scream that at the end of the oath ceremony. You just said, I'll vote for anyone.
Yeah. They said, turn to the person beside you and say congratulations. And I turned beside them and I said, who should I vote for?
But that's how it works, right?
Yeah. But I was clocking in low on this episode, not to spoil it, but
2-1? What are you talking here?
Honestly, Norm, you're gonna freak out. I don't wanna say it, I don't wanna spoil it.
Oh, okay.
Because then the people will stop listening. But I'm gonna say this. It's a less than neutral.
Are you better now? No.
I don't know. No, you know what? It's kinda here's the thing. I find that, and I don't know if you can relate to this, I can experience joy amidst a tough time or like a sad time. Like, you cannot feel good about yourself, but like other people are really entertaining me. So for example, when my lovely guest Hampton and I were recording this,
you had fun.
I had a really good time. So that's not to say that like it wasn't genuine in that moment. It was more like the underlying things that it's like that I went into it with, then I had a really good time. I hung out afterwards. It was so much fun. But then when you leave, it's like, you know, you come out with that too. You're like, oh yeah, but none of these things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a really fun break from them. Right. That's kind of what's happening.
Does any of it have to do that it's playoff time and there's nothing but sports on in the house?
Exclusively, yeah. And I am glad that you broached the subject, that it is only because of the sports in the house, I feel bad about myself because I'm not an athlete.
Right.
Because I didn't make the NBA.
That's right, you're not, and you never will.
And honestly, that hurts because I haven't even tried, so it's like, you know, we're kind of stopping me before I even really have a chance.
I can't even imagine. You'd probably be the only sport you could probably like compete in would be like gymnastics, right? Because you're shorter.
Norm, I need way more muscle for that. Yeah, and to pull my hair in a tight bun, come on, that's a hazard.
Yeah, the bun being too tight is what's keeping you from becoming a.
Well, I might get a light headache. That's really going to affect my routine.
Okay.
Well, now that we've talked about that. Any other announcements or updates now that you have an American wife?
Yeah, you're American. That's what it is. We have a bunch of little American flags around the
house.
Yeah,
we have
now.
A vase of them, compliments
a bouquet of flags.
Compliments of Allison, my lovely friend, Allison Rich.
Past guest.
Yeah, past
there's
guest.
There's some balloons in the house.
Past guest, current friend.
Wow. what else is the update? Nothing. I'm going to the Clippers game, game two on Tuesday with a couple of Clippers pals.
Yeah. You must be so excited.
Should be fun. It's a playoff game and they need to win.
Now here's the thing. What's the capacity?
There are vaccinated sections in which everyone is vaccinated and you can, it's like full.
Oh.
And then there's unvaccinated sections, which are more sparse. But here's a little trick. We're all vaccinated, but sitting in the unvaccinated section, so no one's around to bug us.
Smooth.
Yeah. Yeah,
you guys really thought this out, this
yeah,
trick.
Fuck it. I'm a 7 because I'm so fucking smooth.
Oh, my God. You know what, guys? I'm a 7 because I married a smooth man.
I'm sorry that I swear. So I'm realizing that I swear so much in these intros.
Yeah, fuck you.
Okay.
I say we get to it.
Okay, well, I'm not involved in this part, so
it's whatever you do. We've got a great episode. Good friend of mine, very funny.
Talked to him on the phone to confirm his last name.
I just talked to him on the phone to confirm his last name. Yunt. And yes, I did call Georgia to get to him.
Yeah.
I like to go through her.
Has Georgia been on the podcast?
Of course.
Oh, great.
Oh, my God, she was one of the first guests. And actually, Hampton and I yammer on about her for quite some time.
So the listeners can look forward to some yammering.
Hey, why not? Only in LA. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest, Hampton Yunt, right after this break. It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party. Hampton?
Hi.
We did it.
Hello.
After having to book you as a guest through your wife, aka your agent, now, according to her, we've got you on the podcast. We're here. We're recording. And a delight in person. Welcome to the Vax Life. Anyone who hasn't been vaccinated yet, that's okay. On your time.
Yeah, whenever.
Honestly, guys, it's laissez-faire. It's a bit of a no-rush situation.
No
take
rush.
Your time.
Honestly, the government has stepped up and provided all the resources we need. Why would, you know?
Hey, guess what? It's a bit of a why me, Kathy situation from the comics. Hampton, how are you doing today?
This is the first time finding out my wife's my agent. I need to make her work harder. This is insane.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is the
God.
Best gig she could book you was we this podcast.
No, she killed it. This is great. I'm doing all right.
Okay.
I guess, right?
Yes.
I was thinking about it the other day that it is kind of rude to answer any other way than fine or all right.
Yeah.
When people, you know, ask, hey, what's going on? Or like, how are you doing? Are you all right? And I'm just like, it's funny because that's considered rude. I'm like, so we should just stop asking that question.
We
right?
really should.
Entirely.
Well, when somebody's like, I'm doing great, you know, they're dying for you to be like, oh yeah, what's up? Like they just want to tell you why they're great. But then if you say you're doing bad, like someone's like, how you doing? I'm doing terrible. You won't believe what's gone down with me. And then you're like, this soggy idiot I have to listen to now. Like,
great. Your problems plus my problems.
This is the last thing I need right now.
Maybe it's because like you just want somebody to ask you how it's going.
Desperate.
You know?
Desperate.
Like, please solve my problems. Please tell me you're doing great and you know how to solve my problems.
Yeah, this is what I like to say. I like to go, how are you doing? Let me stop you right there. And let me tell you how I'm doing. Okay, so we like to start this podcast with a self-esteem party check-in. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling right now about yourself today, the last couple days, recently, whatever?
What is the scale?
The scale is like, for example, if you were like, it's about how you feel about you. It's not like, oh, I'm tired today. It's like, you're like, I think I'm doing good in life, or I really love myself today, or you know what? I've kind of been hard on myself today. That kind of scale.
Well, okay. So I understood the emotional scale, but what I'm wondering is what's the numerative scale? Like, are we going 1 to 100 on this?
1 to 10.
1 to 10.
Okay. 1 to 100. Hampton, am I made of time? Hello.
Are we giving it colors? Are we giving it shapes? Are we going preschool with it?
I like, feel 5 hexagon.
I feel like a triangle today. A purple triangle. What can I say?
Honestly, we might have to steal that. We
it's
might
like
have
when you
to.
Go to a bathroom and the symbols don't make sense. Am I a purple triangle or am I a pink circle? I don't know.
I'm having a tough time.
Oh, man, I miss stand-up.
Yeah,
more
how you
hot
feel?
Riffs like this.
Well, this, you know, this I can release this as some sort of a stand-up album if you need me to.
Just let me stand up to you in this room and I'm just talking.
Just get up. I'll take a photo to prove it.
Right, so.
Oh my God. Okay, guys. Hampton has a novelty mic that stretches up. So now it's officially.
It's not that novel. It's just a rock star microphone.
Hampton, it's I've never novelty. Seen a microphone where you went from sitting to standing in 2 seconds flat, ready to talk at me.
It's for music.
It's a novelty microphone, just so everybody all right, knows.
So, Alana, on a scale of 1 to 7,
10.
Shit. I fucked up. All right, I feel like a 3.
Okay, now he's sitting down. Here goes the. First of all, if that's your stand-up, you should feel like a 3. That was terrible. All you did was answer a question. This is one of the worst acts I've ever seen.
I'm telling you, I'm a 3.
This is it, guys. Welcome to my new album. You're feeling at a 3, huh? That's okay.
I'm a fucking 3.
Okay.
I'm a fucking 3.
Oh, yikes. I'm never doing the scale again. I liked it better when you were a purple triangle.
I feel like it's being honest, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm a generally a pretty like jovial guy, especially when I'm seeing friends. I'm just laughing, having a good time.
We do have a good time together. We listen. Last summer when anyone could only see each other outdoors, socially distanced, your backyard like saved my sanity. Seriously, like Norm and I coming here, it was like you guys saved us. We were so like nobody has backyards, right? So yeah. It was like we couldn't see anybody.
And I put you guys to work. I was like, do some weeding.
Yeah, I mean,
help out.
Yeah, that Here's was
help.
That definitely got me at a 3. When I thought this is how my friend values me.
Oh shit! How are you doing on a scale of 1 to 10?
Honestly, I'm a 7. 2. Look what you've done. On a scale of 1 to 7, I'm a 6.8. I'm doing okay. You know what? I'm clocking in a little low as well because I'm excited to be here, but that's separate for how I'm viewing myself today, yeah. And I. It's, you know, I'm sure you're feeling the same thing I'm feeling. Work is very slow. That always decreases our self-worth to be like, I'm useless, or at least for me.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling currently like a bad family member. So that's really knocking me down because I feel like I'm letting my family down. So if you're at a 3, I would say I'm at like a 4.5. Truly, it's a bit of a lower day because I can tell I'm doing better than you. Obviously, you woke up later in the day than I did, so that says something about you. I woke up early, but
I told you at least for an hour how weird it was that I'm so tired that I slept so much.
You know, never I don't know. I have no proof. I have no proof you've been up early.
Yeah. You target me. You assassinate my character. And now you try to outdo me with a 4.5.
I'm like at a 4.5. Well, I'm at a 4.5. Georgia called out how long my hair was. That's always nice. That's a boost. Yeah, that was the 0.5 was
That's
the hair.
Agent. She shouldn't be coming on these gigs that I need. She's blowing.
Yeah, seriously. She should feel at the 3. You should stick to purple triangle out of 7. What's the 3 for you? What's in and around that? Like the work thing we said that's contributing. Is that like the majority of the contribution or is it like pandemic stuff weighing down on you?
I just feel like pretty lost, like, disillusioned also a bit like with, what, you know, comedy. Wow. And that sounds really stupid to say, but just like what comedy as a scene was like before the pandemic and then through and then just seeing where it's going on the other side. So now I'm kind of like, I don't know. It's just like picking up again to do something that's so frivolous.
Yeah, it's true.
So yeah,
that we like, put so many years into and like so much effort and care. And then you're like, for what? For who?
Yeah, it's like we kind of went through like a 9/11 every day for like a year. And it's just like, okay, I guess I'll just like get back up there and be like, women are crazy. You know, like
anybody else trapped with the old wife for the last year?
Anybody else have the exact same experience as everyone else on Earth for the last year? And yes, it's relatable, but isn't that also boring?
Yes.
So that's my thing is I think life has to pick back up a bit for me to be like, because comedy... is for me was meant to be kind of like a thing people enjoy frivolously.
Yeah.
Like, it is meant to be just a laugh.
And so, disposable in that way, too.
So, like, when people are, like, rushing to do shows mid-pandemic, and it's like, it's limited seating, so make sure you're vaccinated. Like, it just sounds like so much pressure that I'm like, who are these people that are like, I haven't seen my family, but I have to go see Sebastian Maniscalco do 20 minutes about coffee.
Oh, my God, you're totally
it's
right.
It's just like, what? Like, dude...
Do you?
Am I on a fucking different planet? Like, are you a sociopath?
No, but that's like, that's honestly such a good point. And I find too, like, it kind of sounds like what you're trying to say. I just have nothing to talk about because I don't want to talk about COVID.
Not particularly.
I have nothing to say about it.
President, I almost never really talked about him. I was talking about the world or society, right. And it wasn't. And I never really had to reference him.
So yeah,
we were all, you know, like if you were savvy about what was happening.
Yeah,
you had an idea.
Not me.
You had an idea. Racism existed in America. Yeah. And shit like that.
I like to start all my sets people. With what's existed in America, just as a fact sheet, and then I'll start talking about my personal life. Yeah. No, but it's tough because it's like, I don't know if you're having this. I'm like, you know, as things reopen, I go, but where's my entrance? Who's saying we need some Alana Johnston? Show me the lineup of the people for the limited seating. Like, where are these people?
Now, more than ever, are going to need self-esteem.
Well, they're look gonna... elsewhere because you got a 3 and a 4.5 at best.
We are not your gurus.
Do not follow me. Like, I'll sometimes have people.
That's true. That's really where my mental has been at. Is like, I don't know. Like, say I had a podcast where I was giving mental, not advice, but I was talking a lot about
perspective.
It.
Yeah.
And then I was like, podcast. I am so depressed and so need to shift my life. I mean, I quit drinking, which was huge.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't know if I could make it an hour, let alone a day, let alone a week, let alone a month. You know, it's like, yeah. So it was like, who am I to give any kind of advice right now? Even if I'm like, hey, this is my situation. I'm going through this. You know, I just needed a break.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know.
Well, it's, listen, just
I'm
because it's.
I don't know, you know, who I am even, or yeah. What I'm talking about all the time.
Well, it only applies to you. It's not like I share my experiences on this podcast and like with my guests and in the intro with Norman, everything like that, but it's very specific. So I'm always surprised when somebody writes me and is like, thanks so much. This really affected me or this, I related to this. And I'm going, then I feel bad for you if you're anywhere close to me. So this is my public apology to everybody.
Nice, but sincere emails about like, you know, like changing my life. And I'm just like, okay, wait.
Yeah.
Like, wait a second. I'm like crying every day. Like,
yeah.
I gotta like not be disingenuous.
Right.
Because I really, I just, yeah, you know, I want to make stuff that I sincerely want to do and I want people to also sincerely enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think you're in the same headspace. And it is coming back. And that's part of where I get terrified mm-hmm. and scared. And that's where I'm like at a 3 where like stand up. I just kind of killed in my mind where I'm like, that's gone. You know, it's not happening anymore. Mm-hmm. And then it's coming back. And I write down jokes. Like there is stuff, but also it's like, how do like, I just want things to get back a little bit more to normal.
Yeah.
And then there, it feels like, oh, now I want to hear this like nihilistic comic.
Yeah.
Like now I want to hear the guy who's never happy.
I've been wondering.
That's me, baby.
I've been wondering what stand-ups are talking about. Like I'll see some of my friends doing shows and traveling because obviously the restrictions are different in every state. So mm-hmm. some comedy venues do have max capacity in various ways of, I don't know if you have to show a vaccine card. I think they're all different. I think everybody's like doing it differently or whatever for how people are getting in there. But I do wonder what people are talking about because it's like, right now, I can't do a character past 1 minute. I post them online. They're all 1 minute. And believe me, guys, I'm not cutting material out of there. I'm stretching it. Like I'm barely covering any ground here.
Yeah, just not a lot of new experiences. Life has been on pause.
Yeah, pause. Perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it didn't stop. But the life we knew paused, and then we all got this like new life. And because we hate the new life, we want to leave it behind, but we have nowhere to go back to. So we're all in limbo. We're all just here. waiting for me and you to save them.
Same movie, same plot. They paused it midway, and then they changed out a lot of the main characters. And then press play, and you're like, whoa, wait.
Everyone got replaced with Jean-Claude Van Damme, and they were like, he just knows how to hit it home every time.
Titanic is full of kicking now. They're just kicking. No wonder they're drowning on the raft. They're just kicking each other.
Honestly, what I wouldn't give. He's good, though.
He's good.
You do have to admit.
The man is
JCVD, he is good.
I'm sure he's a terrible monster.
Of course he is. No offense,
so
every man is
always like, he's so nice, and I'm like, I believe I've seen footage of these guys being like,
no, I'm sorry, if you're in Hollywood, you're not nice.
Yeah,
it's like, as simple on, as that. Like, you got to be a little mean. You got, especially if you're in comedy, you're a little bit mean. Little bit mean.
Yeah, I'm not like a super great nice person.
Well, you're like poking. You're poking at things and at people, right? And it's like, if you were just a totally nice person, all you would talk about is how everything is great. But I don't know any stand-up that gets up there and is like, are you guys loving these chairs or what? How about these great chairs?
No, I'm like a negative guy and... I don't know why. Like, I'm really, I try so hard to address it and just change. And I'm kind of more like, you know, I know this is kind of like navel gazing here, but it's like, I get mad at myself for getting mad, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of shit where I'm like, and that's where I'm like, maybe I do need to occupy my time a little bit more strongly. Because this is like, you know, now I'm just like I literally get in fake arguments with people that aren't there. There's, I'm not, it's based off of conversations that could have happened and gone ways. And what I would have said to that and how smart I would have been.
You're like a choose your own adventure of anger management.
That's where I'm like, maybe I should make sure I got a driver's license.
I'm totally with you. You know what's interesting about you, though, Hampton?
Nothing.
and thanks for listening, everyone. You know what's so interesting about you, Hampton, is you, like you said, if you could be a negative guy or whatever, but because you exude so much energy, that always comes with an assumption of positivity. Like, I get that as well because I have so much energy, but I'm like, but if you're listening to what I'm saying, I've been trash talking my best friend for 30 minutes. If you're listening to what I'm saying, you know? So it's like, that's my whole thing is that I'm like, it doesn't mean I'm positive. I'm actually like quite negative, and I'm like you, I have to work so hard. Like, I wake up early to psych myself into the day. To be like, okay, Alana, every task I have, I don't want to do. And then I'm like, okay, Alana, you can do it. I have to journal my way out of what I was so mad about or disappointed about yesterday. And then I have to go my daily goal. And some of them is just is like, make it to 8 p.m. This is a daily goal sometimes.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's like, it makes me, it's human. Why I throw out all my journals though, because I don't want to read that again. I don't want to see that time in my life. I don't like remembering, like, I know people are like, oh, you learn lessons. I'd rather keep making the same mistake than ever relive anything I've ever done in my life, ever. Guys, this just in, I'm a waste of space. If you are too, please tweet at @selfesteemparty, # waste of space. And by the way, hey, Hampton, you can drop a hashtag anytime you want on the podcast. Anytime you want, you can drop one.
Hashtag free Israel. I've been sitting on that one for a while.
Desperate to get that hashtag in, huh?
Just really. When will Israel be free?
Oh my God, Hampton!
Of the menace of Israel.
Hampton, please, I don't know how to edit.
Oh, shit. Oh,
I can't cut this out.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God, if this podcast gets political,
but,
we need a new host.
Well, yeah, I also do think it's like, celebrate being human, and, you know, we all have flaws, and it's like, it's really crazy to just be like, I should be perfect, or like, I shouldn't think about things, or all this stuff. I mean, it is the human experience, and like, you know.
Who do you think's the most perfect person that you would compare yourself to, where you're like, I should be perfect? Like, what, who are you thinking about?
Or Jean-Claude.
Oh, okay.
Me Too Van Damme.
That's so weird because mine was actually the same. I thought he's nice, he kicks.
I was raised Catholic, so maybe there's some, you know, kind of like guilt complex by being kind of force-fed that mythology sort of stuff, yeah. You know, where you're like, oh yeah, like you should be like perfect. Like
here's the thing, I don't know. I was not really raised religious. Mm-hmm. Like what damage does that do? Because that it's like mm-hmm. a real thing. I've had people bring that up before, and it seems like religion as a child like can really mess you up.
Yeah, I don't know if it's across the board though, you know, because I really am like, people are fucked up. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't know if it's just religion, because it's like, yeah, it gives you complexes of like guilt,
mm-hmm.
Especially Catholicism. But then other religions do too, and other people have guilt complexes for any number yeah. of reasons, you know?
I have tons.
It's just kind of like, you kind of like don't deserve to be happy.
Yeah. My yeah.
And you probably did something right now that you should feel bad about.
Yep.
Right? And so that's like, everyone has that.
Yeah.
That's true of literally anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone could get that horoscope. But the thing is, it's like, you'd then be like, well, I'm kind of like special that I'm bad. And, you know, like, I'm so special, God's going to like send me to like a bad place. That's like,
just me. Like, he's like, watching like, me.
Like, super narcissistic. He's yeah. like, he's probably watching every bad thing oh my and God. Making a list.
The God is always watching. Suffer. Yeah. The yeah. God is always watching is horrifying, because guess what? I like getting some, okay? And if I got this other guy watching me and he's not paying, come on.
This guy's not subscribing to my OnlyFans? God has an OnlyFans to every single member of this planet.
If you guys think I should start an OnlyFans, please tweet at Self-Esteem Party, hashtag just do it. That's an original phrase.
Only God.
Yeah, only God. Hashtag only God. And that's if you think Hampton should start an OnlyFans account. His is only God. I mean, honestly, though, OnlyFans, that would upset me, because what if nobody subscribes to me? And it's only for my fans to subscribe to
hard
me.
Hard laugh. That's just funny. I don't know why that's like new level. You're right. That is a new level.
Of low, of is it not?
So here's what I'm saying. I love dark things. You know, not to like pat myself on the back. But I mean, like, it's like a kid like love of this kind of stuff. Like,
you're very good at it.
I think that's the darkest thought ever. Like, I mean, really, if that legit happened to somebody, you'd cry. You saw that in a movie.
It'd be so upsetting.
But like, there's also the comedy version of it where you're just like, of course, life is that horrible.
Yeah.
It's just hysterical.
It makes me, I will say, and you can go ahead and have a laugh at me. People have suggested I start a Patreon, and I'm too nervous to do it because I do think no one's going to subscribe.
Oh, mine's been going down.
Well, so I guess I've brought this yeah. up to the right person.
But I I don't want to play my hand here, but like, I think it's the new thing for like, just the way, this is where I feel
Wait, having a Patreon's the new thing?
Yeah, I guess. For like comedy people in general, not just stand-ups.
To make money.
Just like life, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple things, but there's a couple, if it's like, it's really funny that like most people's focus is to get an industry job,
yeah.
To get an NBC job. And then like, I know people who have worked inside the industry for many, many years and now are like super stressed because that host or whatever is retiring. And now, oh my God, I'm 55 and I don't want to look for jobs. You know, it's a fucking struggle wherever you go. So basically everyone's trying to get into this corporate world and no one's like, let me just make a base of like fans who actually like what I do.
Yeah.
And just like give them content if they want to pay for it or not. That's fine. But just like it creates a base that no one can really take away from you. So that's kind of a new way I think comedy is going to shift, because we've had such an influence of like people who make YouTube channels, TikTok, whatever. Like there's just so much independent money now in comedy that it's kind of crazy to just be like, I'm not going to start a podcast or a Patreon or like start a Threadless store. Yeah. You could start a fucking Twitch channel if you play video games, and like, all of those are revenue streams that are like, no one can like fire you from.
I've been DMing a couple of people going, do we really need more of this? That's true. You're right,
that's
though.
Like, you know, that's the thing is like, I feel that too with entertainment and trying to like come back into it. Where yeah. I'm like, why would anyone want this? But the reality is anyone really asking for more Will Smith? Is anyone really asking for anyone to exist or do more? It all kind of is like not that good. Like, that's another thing. Is like, even the best shit on TV, it's not that good.
No.
It's really not. Like, no. I think.
Or if it is, it's like yeah. the random hidden away show that you discovered and you're like, how is everybody not talking about this? It's like, that's always what the best thing is the most inside thing you can find.
Yeah. And it's just like, there's really no arbiter of like who's good or bad. It's like, if people actually dig what you do and you make something that makes people's lives better, that has worth. And like, it's like, that's all you need. And
well, I mean,
go into that.
I think half of why, like when the pandemic first hit, I stopped doing the podcast for 3 months because my brain broke. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I just can't be funny. Yeah. I can't be funny and I can't talk about real things. It was, so that is the whole, it's either one or the other on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't do either one. So I stopped. But then we came back because I was like, one, we're going to be locked in here and this counts as live shows. And two, and I was right about this, now that things are reopening, like I said, guys, nobody's chomping at the bit to get old Alana Johnston in there. So thank God for this podcast where I book myself each week and it doesn't matter. And I will say this, bless you little angels listening out there. My listenership has like tripled since the pandemic because I realized as much as I needed to entertain, they needed to be entertained. Yeah. Everybody was like, no, we do want to laugh. Turns out we do want to laugh. And I just assumed nobody did. And everybody does because we all have nothing. We all have nothing.
Guys, like and subscribe. If you've got nothing, get in the comments. Tell us what nothing you've got.
If anybody actually writes best. A comment, about what your nothing is that you have, I will send you a photo of somebody's tits.
Somebody,
not me. I can't guarantee whose they are, but I will send them. Could be a dog, could be anybody, like I said. okay, so now this is my question for you. If you were asked to do a stand-up tour or go to whatever different shows, is that something you're going to say yes to, or is this something you still need to think on?
I've turned down a lot of,
really?
Oh yeah, of like stand up on the road and stand up local.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, no, like, you know, I just told them I'm not in a good spot or I made up something. I can't even remember, but like, going forward, I mean, I was already doing this. Like I'm kind of just booking my own venues on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've just worked really hard at like getting fans together and like make sure if I'm coming to an area, like there's people there, they're gonna show up,
right?
And so locally I'm gonna kind of change how I'm doing stuff. Like I don't know if I'm gonna want to drive everywhere all the time
anymore. Oh my god
I almost got, like LA is not for nothing, it's just a psychotic place to be driving. Like people are crazy here.
I hitched terrible a ride drivers. Here. You're 15 minutes from my house, and I don't have a ride home.
Okay, wait. This is some other homelessness issue that we're dealing with here.
He just asking some for a ride home.
I will give you a ride home, but I just mean it's like I almost got in accidents because people just would literally come into my lane and, you know, like driving the other way, like shit that's bananas insane. So I was just like, I'm not going to drive to go do 10 minutes for 10 people and like, you know, every gig ever. So I was already scaling it back. And I'm just going to be a lot more thoughtful about what I do locally.
Because I don't want my feelings to be dictated anymore by an audience. That's what I learned from this. And listen, guys, I slayed on stage, but
you're like incredible. Not for nothing.
Hampton!
I've seen your live shows several times. You put on a production. It's incredible.
I appreciate that.
I mean, it's like, that's another thing is like, you can't always do what you do in like little short sweet.
Well, that's the thing. I'm a bit of a slow burn because I've got a lot of stories and they're all long winded.
It's just a production. production.
It's a whole, oh yeah, guys. I've talked about the live show that I used to do. Actually, Hampton, your wife, one of my dancers and has been one of my original dancers. Georgie has been with me since the start. But yeah, it's that's why I think I question my reemergence into the scene, because I'm like, by the end, like you were saying, you kind of honed in where you were like, I'm only going to do it this way or under these circumstances. Mine was I'm doing it by myself. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at a place like, not to completely explain what the show is to everybody, and I know you've seen it, Hampton, but essentially the show is me talking about my journey to self-esteem. And at the end, it's like the lesson I learned as to why I still felt bad about myself, regardless of all the work I had done and the experiences I had had. I can't do that anymore. Mm. We all feel bad. So I can't be like, my year was really hard because of my bulimia. It's like, nobody cares. Everyone's like, good, you gained 20 pounds. Where's that bulimia? Get that back in the game. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a little bit harder because that whole show's out the window. And now I have to write a new album about, like, I don't know, Norm. It's the only thing I know.
Just so you know, I have a show pitch for you. I will be telling it to you off mic.
Oh, thank God.
But sincerely, I have, like, I mean, I think it's such a, like, a novel idea.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't wait to hear it. Let's end the episode.
No, your idea, I'm saying, is novel. I've got pitches. You can take it or leave it.
I will take it. I'm desperate. If you guys have a show pitch for me.
When we were just hanging out, you know, that you were kind of, like, shifting.
Yeah.
Maybe having to shift the idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay, this is the whole thing. Like you said earlier, feeling lost. Mm-hmm. So much of my identity was in my performing. And I don't mean like, oh, the validation of the crowd, which of course I appreciated. I mean, I talked about personal stories. Wow. And not in a stand-up way where there's like a set-up punchline. They weren't jokes. They were my actual stories. I literally, verbatim, tell them as is.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm feeling lost, because I'm like, those just feel like they don't matter anymore. Maybe they do, but they just feel like they don't matter anymore. And now I'm like, but that was it. Like, I put everything out there, and I don't want to talk about what's happening in my life now because it's getting me at a 4.5, and I really don't want to talk about it because I'm not feeling good. And I don't want to talk about my journey to feel good, because the whole point when I did that soul show was that I do feel good now at the end of it, but I don't feel good. Mm-hmm. So the ending of my show is just going to be me going, best of luck, and then walking the fuck off stage, farting in your faces. Like, I have nothing to offer.
Well, maybe we get locked into, like, kind of, like, specific notions of, like, how we think a thing was going to go. But I think something that is just true of your performance and, like, continuing with that is that, like, you know how to tell a story. Comics don't know how to tell a story for the fucking life of them. Mm-hmm. And Georgia has, like, attributes with comedy that, like, are so specific. She can talk to a crowd.
Oh, my God.
Almost no comics can do that.
No.
And so, like, to tell a story, again, I maybe know two other comics who tell stories. Like, and that's, like, their thing and are good at it, even. Mm-hmm. Like, so your ability to take the world, put it through your filter of, like, just, you know, I saw this, or this happened to me and this is why it's funny, that's never going to go away. And, like, you've made that stronger. And I hear you, like, self-esteem party, who knows? I think it's a brilliant show concept, but maybe as a live thing, it's going to be just something that you have to compartmentalize.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a podcast now.
Yeah.
It's this podcast. And then when I do live stuff, it's, you know, just however you want to go about it.
Yeah.
Know? It might be just more stripped down. Like, if you do...
That's what I'm thinking.
You, Alana Johnston, talking about fucking whatever.
Yeah.
And you build up a crowd through this podcast. Same, you know, it's like... I think that's honestly the direction of a lot of comics, is, like, we all realize that, like, when we're trapped indoors, we're not actually, like, cut off from, oh, no, now I can't do shows for 10 people in LA who don't give a fuck and aren't... You know, like, it literally
aren't there to see me.
Aren't
there to see me.
Aren't there to see you or whatever. It doesn't, you know, even if they like you, comics are so stupid about being like, oh, well, check out my Twitter. You know, like, follow up. You know, I don't know. But, like, follow up. Hey, I like you. Oh, yeah? Would you like to see it again and pay money?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, no. But you like, broadcasting. Like, we're all, like, able to make any kind of money from just, like... again, like YouTube, podcasting, Twitter, whatever, like you can aggregate an audience, people who actually like it, get mm-hmm. it. And I think that's a lot stronger for your career, for anyone's career, than just like mindlessly, like, you got to go up in front of any crowd. You got to crush. I mean, that's more a stand-up thing.
Yeah.
And it's like sociopathic, and like I'm coming to terms with, like, I think honestly stand-up comedy is a little like predicated on alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
it's like, because number one fear for most people is like public speaking,
right?
Which is insane. Like, have you heard of snakes? Like, that's crazy.
Listen, yeah. I too would be freaked out if I had to publicly speak about snakes. Imagine I don't know a lot about the topic.
Talking to a snake like it's a microphone.
Welcome to stand-up.
Y'all ever? But I mean, so there's a clear like adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving adrenaline addicts free drink tickets.
Yeah, because so that's how you pay them.
You're giving alcohol to adrenaline addicts. That's like a doctor would tell you that is how you make alcoholism.
Yeah.
It's like you're giving people an endorphin rush with like a drug.
Yeah.
That will make a click. So I've seen like, you know, piles of my friends die, become addicts, fail, like in any number of ways. And I just am like, you know, best case scenario, the booze help, you know, like was kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best case scenario, it was kind of fun.
If you were in the right headspace that night, only if you're in the right headspace.
For some people, it was a great party, you know, but not really all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the negatives just so far outweigh. Like there's just times where I've like blown so many things by just being, you know, drunk, not on point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going back into stand-up and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be sober. I'm going to be in a lot of scenarios that involve alcohol. I think I've been pretty good so far in quarantine because I haven't been around bars. But I'm just very thoughtful of like, I'm going to be around alcohol a lot more.
And people have been drinking a lot more. That's like something else to take into consideration.
Yeah, people called that too. It's funny. It's like, I was like, I just don't think people are like ready for stand-up. And then people started tweeting. They're like, hey, by the way, like, I had another drunk heckler tonight. And like, and then another comic tweeted, like, people really need therapy right now. They don't need stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Like, they've been like drinking, like going crazy. They don't know their limit also when they're in public. So yeah, I'm just seeing all these horror stories of comics who are like, yeah, like the craziest guy got up, like.
But we're feeding negativity. Listen, I'm not saying this for all stand-up, but a lot of stand-up is self-deprecation mm-hmm. or being rude or mean about something, mm-hmm. which is like very funny and very entertaining. But when you're doing that with a crowd that's in a bad headspace, it's like they're just like feeding right back into you without realizing it is not a call and response. And it's like, I think that's like why I wish I could think of a way to bring back self-esteem, because it's supposed to be a feel-good mm-hmm. positive show, but at the same time, are we in that headspace? Maybe not. Like, that's another thing, is like people also might not be ready to be like, everything's great. And I'm not saying everything's great,
yeah.
FYI, but it's like I don't know, it's just, it's like, that's what I mean about this like re-entrance. I do have to say a quick side note. When you were talking about storytelling, which I appreciate the compliments you gave, and then you said how your wife, Georgia, former guest, is also a good storyteller and can talk to a crowd. Let me tell you guys something. Quick story about Georgia. That was in the self-esteem party show, so it relates. As we know, I said I was bulimic, and I stand by that. It was a really good choice. I wish I still did it. So weight loss, you guys should have seen my body. I was fucking jacked with like literally no effort. It was a joke. It was such a joke. So anyways, I recommend it. I do. But I wound up in the hospital for fun, and Georgia was with me, and this is how good Georgia is at talking. Georgia spent 9 hours explaining season one plotline of hit TV show Revenge. 9 hours telling me about it. It was literally one of the most captivating things I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, I was sold on this show. Of course, I went and watched season two when I got released. It was like, it was literally one of the most, like, no one can recap a TV show better than Georgia. I know it's a weird skill, but it's like, Georgia should do like one of those after shows. The Hills after show. She should seriously do one of those. She would be so good at it.
I know. It's like, it's so funny how like comics or, yeah, comics, I'll say that. People who do comedy or try, I don't know what I mean, creatives, that we just get, you get really fixed on like, it. I guess I'm supposed to do it just this one way,
mm-hmm.
or that is taught to me, and you just get very fixed because you're not succeeding, so therefore it's like something you have to fix and overcome.
Yeah.
But it's actually, it's like, man, if you just recognize your strengths and lean into it,
yeah.
Like, so few comics could just talk to a crowd for a whole show.
Yeah. With no material.
With almost no material or no material. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think even when comics are like, it's my just talk to the crowd tour, I'm like, you got some. You must have some.
We saw you backstage. Right? You got a tiny paper and pencil. Relax. You're taping your set to check the jokes and how they went.
And that's like true creative freedom, too.
So yeah.
To a lot of people, they're like, I mean, I wish I could do that, you know? So I think it's something that people don't recognize because she'll be like, I'm not like, this is her words maybe, and yeah. I'm being hyperbolic, but she'll be like, I'm not the best, you know, writer at blank, 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 you mm-hmm. know? And I was just like, oh, you're just so good.
But you have this other thing that like, I've literally never met anyone who can do it.
Jealous.
Yeah.
You don't even see.
But I've never met anyone in my life who can do it. And you know what's really interesting? I think what you just said about I'm not good at this skill or I'm not at whatever. I think that's another thing that's taken a toll on people's self-esteem in quarantine, because the main skill we were doing for a lot of people, say live show or whatever, when that was taken away, you're like, I'm going to try these other things. And then it made me realize I have zero skills. I have nothing to offer you dumb fucks. And that rips me.
I literally can't say stand-up comedy without like rolling my eyes. Like, I spent 16 years of my life doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I'm just like now realizing, because it's like when you stop drinking, you lose a little bit of the inflated ego.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh my God, I literally like bitched out to people like, you don't understand, I'm a stand-up comic.
Get me like, in those conversations.
Like, oh my, what a horror. Sorry. You understand.
Oh, well, I used to really, I don't know if you did this, but it's like, I would really rail about the pressure that was on me and to succeed. And I'm like, no, I'm going to be somebody and everybody's expecting this. And it's like, you know what people expect out of you? Attendance.
Yeah.
That's it. I've always said this, the key to friendship, attendance. Literally. It's like, that's it. And it's like, we talked about this earlier about male friendships. And the shortcomings of them and how they don't exist.
They do not exist.
Because there's no attendance because no one's invited the person to attend an event. So it's like, that's the problem, is there's no invite going out. And it's like the pandemic, man. Oh, you want to talk some low self-esteem. Thinking you don't have friends, like, or that your friends were only people you would see in person, so you don't realize that you never had to make a plan. Mm. They were just like there.
Yeah.
Especially at stand-up shows, right? All you guys, the back of the bar, chatting, whatever. And then it's like, that's taken away. And then you're like, I have no friends. Oh my God, nobody's reached out to me. I have zero friends. No, like, I became an American citizen. Very excited. On Friday, I became an American citizen.
Oh.
And thank God for my friends. I felt, it was like, I was like, I have an overwhelming amount of friends. Four people posted and I thought, I can't handle this kind of pressure, all these friends. And none of my family cared. In fact, my brother took a picture of his Canadian passport and sent it to me. And then my mom called me this morning to tell, no, I called my mom. She didn't even call me. I called my mom and she called me a traitor. And I was like, honestly, guys, this is...
Don't they look at it as a loss?
No. But, well, here's... I'm still... In Canada, I'm still recognized as Canadian.
Sure, of course.
But in the States, that's for life. But in the States, they only will recognize you as US. Like here, I wouldn't say dual, but in Canada, I would say dual for citizenship. Sure. It's very complicated in Manhattan.
But they look at you like a traitor.
Of course.
Why would
and they did before because I'm Arabic with blonde hair and blue eyes, Hampton. I'm like the palest woman alive. I've
honestly,
been a traitor my whole life.
Blood boil.
Finally, some content for your stand up. Here's why I hate my friend.
I met this white Arabic girl and I got pissed off.
Yeah, I like how you say we just met.
I just met her.
Like I haven't known you for so many years.
Off. You ever meet a white Arabic?
Hampton, do you remember meeting at the Steve Allen Theater at, what's his name, the Midnight Show, remember?
Well, I mean, I've been there like 300 times.
I know. That's where I met you. I was visiting. And I met you, and you annihilated. You like stole the show.
Sure.
You were the best part of the whole show. And I remember I met you then, and I thought you were so nice.
Folks, there's footage. You're going to want to check out.
Well, listen, I'm heartbroken now because when Georgia.
YouTube.com/TheHamptonYunt.
Yeah.
You'll find the footage.
And whoever this man is, let's get him to stop talking. no thanks
folks,
to your rapey voice. You are every woman's nightmare. This dark, scary voice. holy
There's
shit.
Footage, folks.
Okay, here's my question for you. We've talked to talk about comedy. We've talked to talk about the reemergence into comedy.
I really needed to vet.
Hey, man, me too. Mm-hmm. Because I would talk about comedy with people, say a guest that was on a couple months ago. We're all singing a different tune now, right? Because things are different now.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can genuinely say I am panicking. I consider myself to be a confident woman, but I am panicking. I am legitimately panicking because one, we established I have no skills, but two, I'm like, I just want to do it. I just want to make people laugh. That's it. It's not even, I want money for it. In fact, I'm turning down the money. People are throwing money at me. I'm turning it away. I don't want it. No, Hollywood. But I just need to make people laugh to feel like Alana Johnston. Because feeling lost, and I realize it can't be through the performing that I get that validation. It can't be through like what my friends are saying. It has to just be me as I was as a kid, making people laugh because I was just making myself laugh. And that's what I've truly lost was like, I guess the joy. I lost the joy of it and I want it back. And I'm like aggressively going after it, which is why I blasted this tweet saying I'll do anyone's podcast. I'm up to 22. Today was my 22nd podcast of other people's podcasts I've done in the last, I would say the last month.
Future.
Yeah.
Go for it.
But it was, I just had to start making people laugh. I had to do it. And then and it's mainly me making me laugh because listen, guys, you want me on as a guest, I'll do it. But I'm going to fucking tear you to shreds. Because quite simply, you had the audacity to ask me rude of you. I don't have time. So, I mean, sure, I tweeted the tweet, but I don't have time.
Yeah, it's not even like about the crowd, like you're saying. Yep. It is about self-expression.
It is.
And it's like, it's just so innate that it's not even like a thought. It's like, it's just who you are.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I have footage, folks. But
no,
guy. There is like footage of me as a total, like, man, as a kid, the most annoying little kid in the world.
For sure.
It's like innate. It's it's chemical. It's in me.
Yeah.
I imagine there's a TV, you know, camera on me at all times. You know, it's like, so I don't know, you know, what am I going to do? You know?
How do you get back there to a place where nobody wanted you?
Yeah.
How do you get back? That's what I'm saying.
I think it's there. I think the fun is there, and it's just like it's you're conscious of it because it's, you know, it's not coming out the way you want it to, but you like the mechanisms to have fun and to be that unconscious person or whatever is all there, you know.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, this last year and a half's been pretty tough.
Huh.
I don't know. Flip on the news. Oh, something's going on.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm putting out a call to action. I'm putting out a call to action right now. This is to everybody. If we're all feeling a little lost, which in any industry people are, you lose your mind, blah, blah, blah. I want everybody to write down on the internet, one thing you used to love or like about yourself. And then I want you to do one thing to get you as close to it as possible. So for example, for me, something I used to really like about myself was my grand entrances. I would enter a room as grand as can be. I'd take focus from everybody.
It's true.
It's true. Is it not true, Hampton?
Literally true.
A grand entrance was like what I was really good at. So so that's an example of something I used to really love about myself. So what can I do now to get back there? Go to the Target and take off your mask. Grand entrance. Everyone will look at you. And then when you do this, guys, write it down. If you can capture video, great. And tweet it at me. Hashtag just do it. Okay. That hashtag still stands for a couple of things. Okay. Hampton, you started off this podcast at what some people are calling a questionable three after you not really understanding the scale was out of 10. How are you feeling now?
I feel like I'm at a 4.5 and feel alive.
Okay, well, I started at a 4.5. I saw that coming. I would say I am at a confident 5.
Oh!
I feel better having...
The power.
I really feel better having talked this out with you because I really respect you. I've seen and heard your album and seen tons of your shows, obviously, and have hung out with you on a personal note, in which, of course, you're always funniest when you're hanging out with your friends and all that kind of business. But it was really nice to talk about it with you because you've had huge successes in the past, and it's like to hear that you equally are feeling the way that I'm feeling, not a misery loves company, but more that I'm like, oh, well, I don't doubt you. So maybe I don't need to doubt myself as much because
don't miss Doubtfire so much.
Yeah, maybe I have to stop burning my tits and putting them out with pots.
Maybe look at your problems and say hello.
Hello. Okay, Hampton, this is the lamest part of the podcast. Where can we find you online and what should we check out of yours? I know it's so lame, but people really do follow up with that.
Guys, check out my albums. Wherever you buy albums would be best. They're also streamable wherever you stream your music. But just look up Hampton Yunt, and I've got 3 albums that I'd love if you checked out.
And if you guys want to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm at the only Alana Johnston on Instagram and at Alana_Johnston on Twitter. Hampton, I can't thank you enough.
Thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
Yeah, let's go get high. Okay.
That's true.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body. Rock, rock, rock. It's the Self Esteem Party.